Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Happy almost Halloween! And welcome to a non-Halloween edition of Insane in the Fembrain.
Insane in the... Fembrain.
But before we begin, over on Insane in the Membrane right now is Rob Rouse.
I've had quite a lot of... counselling over the years for various different things, and it's the best. I've never had much money in my life and I've never bought much stuff, but it's the best money I've ever spent in my life.
Yeah,
like without a shadow of a doubt. It's why I'm still here in this house with my wife and wonderful children. It's held me together, and it's just fucking hell, because it wasn't something that I even thought was possible for me. Like, it just that's something Americans do. Something that gets talked to. Woody Allen talks about, well, he's not a good example because he clearly needs a lot more work. But you can't adopt them and marry them. But yeah, it felt like it was that's something other people do.
So that's Rob Rouse over on Insane in the Membrane right now. Greetings, everybody. Hope you're well. Hope you're doing okay. Still a mad old time. We're doing our best, as I always say. Welcome to Insane in the Fembrain. Another brilliant edition coming your way. My guest this week is the fabulous Jordan Gray. Jordan Gray was a semi-finalist in The Voice. I've kind of seen The Voice. I didn't really, that's not where I know Jordan from. Jordan and I have gigged together. Jordan is a comedian, a trans woman, and I wanted to get Jordan on because I wanted to talk about it. And you'll hear what goes on. It's because you don't want to upset anyone. You don't want to offend. You don't want to look a prick. And you're trying to. You just, that's the point of having these conversations, is trying to get them started. You know what? How do you talk about it? Why do you talk about it? Why is this still a thing that we have to talk about? You know, these are all the questions that are around, and this is why I wanted to have Jordan on. And I think not just that. I absolutely adore Jordan. I think she's lovely. She's a wonderful person, and I've always had a good time in her company. And I knew that this would be a great episode. So coming up in a minute is Jordan Gray.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
A podcast from producerpaul.co.uk.
Oh, there we are. That's it.
No way.
I was waiting for it to turn on, but I hadn't turned it up. Yeah, there we go. How does that
sound?
I'm in a
little hermetically sealed box.
I am. I'm in a boom.
Like a new action figure.
I am. This is what it feels like to be that. Be an action man.
Yeah, you're in mint condition right now. Don't open the door. Your value will drop.
If only someone had said that when I was born. Don't let him out. You're gonna. He's gonna be fucked. And now here I am. Good. Nice one, Jordan. Are you well? You all right?
I'm very well, thanks. You can hear me okay, yeah?
I can hear you lovely.
Man. I'm nice. Got a little cup of tea. I'm well happy.
I have as well. We've got fruit tea this time. Paul hasn't got any milk. I have never known, and considering the jobs I've had and the places I've been, I've never known a more blokey environment than downstairs. No disrespect. I'm not saying that women, it's just women that buy milk, but these are fucking... leave these men on their own. It just all falls apart.
Well, milk's a very maternal thing, ain't it? It's a very feminine product, really.
It is.
It's the females of any species have more of an affinity with one another.
That's very true.
If anything, it's like you're interfering with a cow.
Yeah, it's fucking men. I don't know. But mind you, though, like I say, it is fruit tea, though. We're drinking raspberry. Tea.
Like a sort of Turkish thing, or like in the tea bag.
Like in the tea bag.
Have you ever had Turkish tea? It's just like sherbet in a packet, and you just put hot water in.
It's lovely though.
I like it a lot. When I was little, I used to just think of it as sherbet, and my mum would bring it back, all expensive from Turkey. I just eat it by the spoonful.
Stick a bit of licorice in it.
Oh my god, yeah. Nice. Oh, what were they called? Dippers.
Sherbet dip dab.
Sherbet dip dabs.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one. Yeah. So where'd you grow up?
I grew up in... I was born in Alsett.
Oh, I know,
don't remember that. And then it was like carted around Stamfordly Hope. I lived in a pub called the Alsett Cock Pub.
Yeah.
For about 5 years. It's an Indian restaurant now, but it was like on the middle of a roundabout. So I was like in no man's land. It was just I lived in the pub in the middle of all these different towns. And then Tilbury, and then sort of my teenage years in Tilbury Town.
Yeah, right. I've spoken about Tilbury before, having visited the place, because we moved to Essex 2.5 years ago. Mm. So I didn't really know much about the place. I knew Southend and I knew various bits. I knew Basildon, but I'd never really had a look round. And then getting the trains, there's two trains, isn't there, from Fenchurch Street. There's the one that goes Basildon, and then and then there's the loop.
You've got to decide, which part of Essex you want to go to, yeah.
And you got to
decide. Well, I suppose that's how trains work.
that is exactly how trains work. You've got to decide where you're going before you get on one.
Mutually exclusive. That is weird that Basildon and Tilbury, never the twain shall meet.
No, and with good reason.
That'd be a war.
No disrespect to the people of Tilbury, but fucking hell. Mm. It's not their fault. It's just been forgotten, isn't it?
It's an amazing thing I read about psychogeography, because it's like sandwiched between a tip and the water, or like the railway line and the tip, and that's where the town is. I mean, you've got no hope, have you, if that's your...
You just feel like you're cut off.
Yeah. In a big bin.
Well, yeah, because it was the docks originally, wasn't it? So I suppose everybody that lived there was connected to the docks.
Mm. Weird that it's a commuter town, so it's like it feels very hopeless when you're there. But then you have got that big shining beacon of London nearby. So they charge for that. They charge that you're nearby to London.
That's what they do charge you for, don't they? Cheeky fuckers. But it's easy to blame the people of these places rather than the people that should be investing in these places, investing in the people. Well, as we've seen with the kids' school meals.
Well, yeah, you know, scary
they
though.
They don't give a shit, do they?
Scarier to talk truth to power. It's easier to be mad at the person living next door, isn't it? And I shall remain doing so. I'm going to continue doing that.
So you grew up in Tilbury.
I did. It's hard.
And how was that? Work. Yeah, you must be hard.
I'm not. Right now I am, as I talk to you. No, it's difficult growing up, because I was a little Cause I had such an afro, and I've had an afro until recently, because when you thing is, when you grow an afro out longer, there's only a certain point where gravity takes over and it starts to look normal. But at a certain length, it is just an impenetrable afro, and you just can't have one of them anywhere out and about on the streets. It's not you're a beacon for torment and ridicule. No, yeah. It's really hard, and I couldn't do anything about it.
Well, because I can sort of relate to that. I was talking about this the other day. I grew up in Orpington, which is a small town. It's just on like the southeast London Kent border, and because it was a small town, like they didn't really respond well to different.
Mm.
And I remember when Bros were happening, and I was into Bros, and my girlfriend at the time was into Bros.
Do you have the little bottle tops and shoes?
I did.
The Grolsch bottle tops.
I did. No, I had a pair of. They weren't even. I couldn't afford proper DMs with the metal bits on them. I had these fake ones.
Nice.
So I had them and a Stars and Stripes shirt and Levi's and trying to get my hair into a quiff. But I didn't know you could go to the hairdressers and ask for that. I didn't know what it was. But yeah, even that, even dressing like that, I used to get ridiculed. So I used to not. I used to go to London dressed like that. I wouldn't go out around the town.
It's so bizarre. It's like white blood cells attacking a foreign body, isn't it? In the blood. Yeah. Just this mentality of this doesn't matter if it's good or bad. If it's different, it doesn't fall in line. Mathematically, it won't tessellate. You know, it's like a load of squares.
Yeah.
You can stack them, but a triangle's going to F everything up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And for some reason, which is, I've just been talking about this with Rob Rouse, actually. It's fear, isn't it? Really,
yeah.
They're just scared. It's not because they necessarily dislike what you're doing, but it scares them.
Yeah, and parents are quick to say, very sweetly but misguidedly, it's like, oh, they're just jealous. I'm like, no, they're not. None of them want this. So you grow up with a massive inflated sense of self because I've got an amazing afro. They do want an afro.
Yeah, no one else wanted to dress like Bros, but didn't have the balls.
Exactly. Oh. I think about Bros all the time. That when will I be famous is in my head. I think I swear it's playing in the background of my mind all the time.
Is that because you want to be famous?
Oh, yeah, undoubtedly. Yeah, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah.
If you think it'll happen.
Yeah, I learned that from Bros. The law of connection. You think you're a superstar.
Yeah. Well,
There's only one of me.
Yeah, that's how I approach gigs. I always walk on like, in my head, I'm Liam Gallagher.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You are unavoidably confident. It's unquestionably. You are just unquestionably confident. But you don't see you and think, oh, he's right up himself. But it's all right because he's talented. You just think he's nice.
Oh, bless you.
He's confident enough to know what he's doing.
I think that just comes with time. You just go, I've been doing it long enough. I know I can do it. And I know I've had more good gigs than I've had bad now. Like the bad gigs get further and further away. You never turn your back on them because you're like, any moment one of them's going to turn up. But you know, a bad day at the office. But you get to a point, like any job, you've been doing it long enough, you get good at it, and then you get confident that you can do it. And I think that's it. I think just being able to walk up and go, yeah, I can do this, I've got it.
Well, comedy's my first few gigs were all fantastic. And that's not necessarily a great thing because then you're like, at any given moment, anything around the corner is going to tear your whole psyche apart. If it's a lukewarm reception, which I then quickly started to receive, thankfully it weren't a trend. But it's just.
I was going to say, because you're brilliant. That's I've seen you smash it. So.
Thanks very much. Difference between you and me, though, of course, is I signal that very much to the audience that I'm very aware of that. I don't think you could say humility is a part of my act. I know in real life that is I'm very lucky and very fortunate and loving it, but I can't escape as a character. I'm always pointing out how well I'm doing.
Like you say, it's part of you. That's part of what you do, and the way you do it is funny. That's the thing. It is
Bless
funny.
It's fun, isn't it?
It is cool. That's what he's started to. That was before all this shit happened. That was what was starting to be missing from comedy. It's actually fun.
Will you be topping your show, or have you already, with that thing that you put out on social media? That you made. That's beautiful. The post you made about how being a comedian, it's all about us sharing like that connection of otherness together.
Oh yeah.
And being separated, we start to forget about that, and then that place disappears. You can't just retrain because it's our mental health is all tied to each other in a way. Our happiness. That's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
A few of my friends were sharing it.
Oh, that's nice.
It's having its moment on social media.
It was just that. It was that. I suddenly was talking to people in green rooms, and I was talking to Rosie Jones and people like that, and everybody said the same thing. They were like, oh, I've really enjoyed this. Not just the gig, but actually meeting up with everybody, because you don't really see each other until you really, you know, like, you and I are mates, but we don't hang out, you know, I'm not saying we wouldn't, but we just don't have time or whatever we're doing. But when we're at gigs, we enjoy each other's company, and you come away going, oh, I enjoyed that. Oh, it's really good to see Jordan. You know, it's really lovely to see. And that's the same with everybody. You know, we just love to see everybody. And we started to miss that. Because we don't fit in. Well, I certainly don't ever feel like I've ever fitted in to what people would call normal life. Even though I tried, and people see me and go, oh, yeah, he's a bloke. And he does whatever. But inside, it's just this turmoil. Yeah. But I didn't have that in comedy. In this industry, in the entertainment industry, I suddenly was around other people that I suddenly went, oh, yeah, I feel at one with these people.
We've all turned our little curses into superpowers. So it's sort of like an assembling of the Avengers, isn't it? You feel better. You stand out for good reasons. The reasons that you've stood out for that have been bad your whole life, they're suddenly like these great strengths that connect you.
Yeah.
It's such a great analogy somebody used. Well, just basically to say, anywhere in the world, any party that you go to where you're the only person there, if you hear there's another comedian, you'll gravitate to them and you're 90% sure that you'll be able to chat to them for the night.
Yeah, yeah, true.
It doesn't matter. Any style, you're like, no, another comedian. They understand my pain.
You just walk. You don't even have to tell them. You just go out and go, oh, yeah. You're a comedian. They go, yeah. And then that's all that needs to be said.
Yes.
I suppose it's the same with musicians or anybody, really. Anyone who works anywhere. I suppose there's comfort in that connection, isn't there?
Do you reckon? Do you reckon that's?
I think so. I hope
maybe in the arts, certainly in the arts,
any yeah,
creative thing. But I did music for 10 years, and it was beautiful. Loved it. I always have to preface it by saying it was wonderful, but I just prefer being a comedian. Mm. But I felt very lonely. It is a very solitary thing, even though you're surrounded by technicians and potentially other band members and stuff. It's still very lonely. But comedy is a world. It's its own little theme park.
It's nice, isn't it? I totally get that loneliness bit as well, because we're on the road a lot, on your own as well, quite a lot of the time. And I remember I supported Tom Stade.
Okay.
And we'd had a really good time. And he's a mate anyway, so we had a nice time. And then, we were buzzing, and the gig went really well. And then I had to go. I was going somewhere else the next day. And then I remember, about an hour and a half later, I'm sat on my hotel bed, and I'm on my own. And it was in like a travel lodge or something like that, so it wasn't very glamorous. And I'm just sat there like, oh, fuck. So I'd gone from that buzz and around everybody and everyone going, oh, that was brilliant. And then I'm on my own. And I was like, fuck.
And you sort of, the next day when you're doing something really remedial or hard work, and you're like, how can my life consist of these two different modes?
Yeah.
Like a huge audience of raucous applause, like you're sort of the new, you're like a religious figure. And then you're like, but I'm washing my own mugs like an idiot. It doesn't feel like it gels. I've done like a bit of reality TV, and it's like Disneyland. It's like lights and crazy. You're in a big video game, and there's thousands of people. And then the next day, would I prefer it was always normal or always Disneyland? I don't know.
Well, that's it. How was it on the? Because you did The Voice. You got into the final, didn't you?
Semi-final. Which is sort of the real thing if you round it up.
Well, the thing is, you still did well. You still,
I was very pleased. Yeah, it was quite a good run. And no bad stories. You hear horror stories about reality TV. I had a great time. It was really nice. Hard work though, but it's such a bubble, and your whole life just becomes about getting to the next step and nothing else.
Mm.
Coming crashing out of that, and then the next. Because also TV people, right? It's like TV people. The ones that are communicating with you about where you've got to be and what you've got to do, or do you want to come in and go for this? They're nice. They're so nice, like affable, lovely people, because they make you feel good and they get a better performance. All that stops when you're not part of it anymore. So I'll call up and be like, oh, I think I left a shoe. And they're like, oh, we'll get back to you in a month. it's like, oh, you were my mate before.
Yeah.
You're really nice. That was weird to not be carried around like a god.
I have experienced that recently with something. I won't say what.
Mm.
And they, like you say, they are lovely people, but I kind of get the feeling, I'm like, yeah, you're, I'm no disrespect to them if they listen to this, but I'm like, you're doing a job.
Yeah, and I know, they're good at it.
Yeah, and they're good at it, and I know what you're doing. I'm aware, and it, and I'm like, I can see, and then, so I can totally see what you mean when you're in that bubble. Everyone's your mate. Everyone's telling you this, that, and the other, and then you're not in it anymore. And all that's gone. Yeah. And now you say, like, then you're just, you're sat there washing your mugs, and you're like, hang on a minute, where did all the people go? That must be the same for everybody. And they, you know, like, however far up the ladder they get, you know, like, you can, this is why a lot of people that get that taste of fame then become, you know, drug dependent or alcoholics or...
Yeah.
Because they can't cope.
Hopefully you can cross addict onto, like, I'm a workaholic now, unashamedly, because I'm good at it. That's the thing. You can be a bad workaholic because you're just busy. You're not actually productive. You're just doing lots but not getting anywhere. I'm enjoying my workaholism. It's getting me... But, yeah, just that taste... It changes your life. It's like learning there's no God. Like once you know what fame is like, and it is oddly empty and full at the same time, because you can translate it into amazing experiences, but it's not like anything actually changed.
Yeah.
And chasing that, just imagine your whole life, everything being just comfortable, not exciting, just knowing that there'll always be someone to tell you that you're quite good at what you're doing in that moment. That's warming. That makes me feel good.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that. And just telling you that your choice of outfit or your hair looks like, well done for that, doing that, what you did, what you put on today. You zipped you done your shoes up well. Like, I know. You don't have to keep telling. Yeah, go on, tell me again.
But I've seen this with Jade, is that I suppose, that, again, the further up you go and then people start to make money from what you're doing, as well as you're making money as well. But people are making money from you, so then they're more encouraged to push you on and tell you how great you are, and then, you know, you see it all the time. You see then these people end up surrounded by everybody saying how great they are, how great they are, how great they are, and then they kind of lose touch, with reality.
And then, but you got right, say like Liam Gallagher at Oasis. When I was little, I used to think, I'm not allowed to behave like that. They're being so arrogant and naughty and saying naughty things. And then as I got older, they're like, no, they believe that.
Yeah.
But so unwaveringly that I believe it as well. So I'm like, good luck to him. I think Noel Gallagher is one of the funniest like guys, but he will just constantly say, yeah, he's a rock star. He's like, I am the rock star. Last time I saw Jade, she did say that we should go and have a bath together, and that's yet to come to fruition. Do you remember that?
Yeah. At the spa that's down near you.
They don't have to be a spa. Could just be a bath.
Just go and have a bath.
To spa, but it was a really left field suggestion that I'm sort of keen on exploring.
Because she really loves going to the spa, and there is a spa not far from you, and that's where they went with her and her mate. And I think that would definitely be on the cards. She'd love to go and have a bath.
A little business bath.
Kind of a business bath with you.
Have a little sushi and a business bath. On a little floating thing, like what you carry your beers in, but a little sushi and a business bath.
Isn't it mad? Some of the things that we talk about in this, in our industry.
Just white people problems, man.
Yeah.
I'm so white.
Talking about privilege. Yeah. I know. I was talking about that the other day, and I'm like, well, yeah, you can have this. These are the conversations that you can have. That's what privilege means.
Yeah, this whole thing of the Danish, I think the Danish call it hyg, but it's this idea of turning comfort into an art form. You know, you see Instagram pictures of people holding a coffee in fluffy socks this time of year with the leaves all arranged, and it's like, this is what coziness looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine the privilege in your life of being able to turn being comfortable into like a sport, like an endeavour. Yeah. Some people will never have that.
No, some people haven't even got... Well, they haven't even got mugs. You know,
they've got Instagram.
No. This is it, isn't it? This is some people haven't, you know, sort of Rob Rouse on his episode, and we were just saying, like, they're still, you know, everyone's talking about, you know, this issue and that issue, but there's still people outside that aren't inside.
Yeah, as clear as you could put it as well.
You know, everybody should be inside, and they're not. And yet we're all arguing about some bollocks.
That's really sad when you say that, because it's sad anyway. Obviously, it's a sad thing. Don't misconstrue my laughter. It's because that's because of discomfort. But it's like it's really, because you say it, you boil it down to its key component, and then it's unarguable. There's no like other level. We're like, yeah, but like, no, there's just people outside that should be inside.
Yeah.
That's what a child would say, and you'd go, oh yeah.
is exactly how it should
That's
be.
That's really sad.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? And it's like, I was hearing that story on the news about that family that got killed crossing the channel.
Oh, gosh,
they
yeah.
They just went, fuck it, we have to go. Mm. And the weather was terrible. And you're like, and they're only in their mid-30s, these parents, and their kids are only... And you're like, and then there are still people online going, well, you know, there are proper ways to get into this country. Blah, blah, blah. They haven't got those luxuries. They're just so desperate for a better life for them and their children that they came across the channel in shitty weather in a shitty boat.
They did the most almost like prehistorically instinctive thing.
Yeah.
To do and of being criticised for it because we're never going to reach that level of impoverishment.
No, imagine that. There's an advert now actually on the radio I've been hearing that, and it's a mum packing stuff and the kids going, Mum, why are we going on holiday with all your jewellery? Why are you putting the jewellery in the lining of your bag? And why is that? You know? And the mum's crying, and you're like, yeah, that's how it would be. It you know it's like a middle class mum.
I get it. Yeah, yeah. That's
yeah.
What I mean.
And it's like, how would you cope if this is how you had to, if you had to do this? Mm. And it really, you're like, yeah, you would. What would you fucking do? You got to look at your house because I was reading a thing. A.A. Gill, he was a journalist and a writer and stuff, and he was talking about not Syria but something like that. And he was just saying like these people start off their journey with everything they can carry, all their belongings, their bags, and everything. And as they go along, they just have to shed stuff and then pick the best stuff till they end up with just like a bag with their most crucial, important belongings in it.
It's like a tragically existential buckaroo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's fucking tragic, man.
That's horrible.
Isn't it?
But it's like just, we can't translate our comfort into help for that. There's money, give money, of course you can volunteer time, but like our circumstantial level of like our circumstances, the real existential thing that hurts and like confuses us is like we can't trade it, you can't cash it in and share some with those people. It's like, no, we just have that, we were born at this place and at this time, and you can't be ashamed for that because that is circumstantial, but you can certainly like that doesn't change how bad you feel.
Yeah.
So it's like, who's to blame? No one, because of circumstance. Well, and lots of people at the top that are like making it that way. But even still, yeah, just us being born in this place and time is not a thing to be ashamed of. But that doesn't take away the fact that you do feel bad, because that's a human instinct. What a weird kerfuffle to be in. What a weird thing to be in.
Mad, isn't it? It's just pure, like I say, pure chance that we are where we are, and they are where they are, and yet. Yeah, I don't know. All we can do is do our best.
Yeah, be good people.
Be good people. Yeah.
Be as good at being yourself as you can.
Yeah. True. Very true.
Yeah. If you're Bros, then you've sort of like divided labour between two people as well. So like they're both really good at being the same person.
Yeah, they're twins, aren't they? They are twins. Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine if you could play the drums and sing, but they don't have to because they're two people.
They're the same person, but they're split in two.
Yeah. That's the lesson for all of us.
Well, do you know what? That leads us. I want to talk to you about because this is, I don't even know where to start.
This is great. Though. I love this bit.
This is the bit. This is the bit where Rich Wilson starts to panic. Because he doesn't know how to start the conversation. And this is the problem, isn't it? We don't know how to start the conversation.
That is so true. People seeing you, I swear, people seeing you do it in real time is far more useful than labouring on your own and trying to figure stuff out and have a very sterile conversation. People need to see somebody chatting to someone and pitfalls and climbing out of them and helping each other.
Exactly. And that's how it, this is the thing. Rob Rouse and I spoke about this on his episode, and we were saying that he had a conversation.
You love Rob Rouse. You love that man. You just won't stop going on about him.
Well, literally, I've just spoken to him just before this. And that's it be coming out at the same time as this, actually. But he said, him and his, they had dinner a few months ago. And him and his mates, they all get into a conversation about trans rights and transgender, and they didn't. And they were having a conversation about it. And he said, this is a conversation that you couldn't have. You couldn't have it online. you can't ask questions. You have to kind of come at it knowing everything. You have to know all the pronouns, how everyone wants to be identified, and you have to be, and you can't make any mistakes.
Any million caveats before you start.
And you go, oh, no disrespect, and blah, 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 blah. And you go, but, you know, I just, you know, that's, it's a conversation that has to be had, but no one knows how to have it.
And just before you say it, then very quickly then, it's the same thing as what I was just saying about we are circumstantially, we're better off, and that's no one's fault, and yet we feel bad. When you get misgendered as a transgender person, it's no one's fault, unless it is deliberate, which is a different conversation, which you never usually is. And yet it's heartbreaking, but it's no one's fault. So if you've not got quite a sophisticated understanding of social like interaction, you just take that hurt as like, oh, that person's trying to hurt me.
Yeah.
But the heartache doesn't go away. So you've sort of got to live your life with, like, if someone misgenders you, you have to make them feel better and say, oh, it's all right. No, don't worry about it. But my heart is still breaking on the inside because, oh, they think I'm a man. So it's no one's to blame. How effing effed up is that?
It is all fucked up, isn't it?
And I extra think extra heartbreak that's coming from nowhere.
And we were talking about the fact that we've, you know, we're a bit older. I mean, I'm 48. So, you know, growing up, we were taught, like, that is a man, that is a woman. And then anybody sort of, and then there was conversations about people, and it was always like, oh, they're not comfortable in that, in the body they're in. But it was all, but even that was still very, they're in a man's body, but they feel like a woman, or they're in a woman's body, they feel like a man. Then that was it. There was no kind of, there was no mention of fluid. There was no mention of.
That'd be a different conversation. That's very personal. Oh, like fluidity.
Fluidity, like, sorry, not fluid. Yeah. I meant, fluidity. Fluid.
That's
is a
surefire way to know if someone's a man or a woman is what fluids fluid. They produce. But even then.
But that's. So that. And so you're now. So now we're in where we are now, and we. There's still that old. The old knowledge. In our heads, and so we're, you know, when we meet someone, like when we meet someone who's trans, and you know, you're like, your brain goes, well, I've been told that, you know, to look at that person, they are a man, and these are the thought processes that are going through, and then you start going, oh shit, I don't want to offend anyone, oh shit, I don't know what to do, and you end up standing there looking like a proper lemon.
Well, and if you've not got, again, like a sophisticated understanding of social, not of the situation, but just literally, if you're not emotionally well developed, you take that discomfort as, well, it's, you've got to get out. The brain doesn't like discomfort, obviously, the cognitive dissonance. So you have to, you start to internalize the anger and put it out on other people. Again, it's no one's fault. You feel bad about something that, for example, I'm not offended by, but you might feel like upset with yourself if you misgendered me.
Yeah.
Neither of us is taking the offence, but it internalises in both of us in different ways. Yeah. So we have to keep talking for that to never happen. And you're absolutely right. How many guards do people want to put up, like, for you lot, you non-transgender people, to have to jump through? I've got no obstacles for you. I love it. I love talking with you.
Yeah, same. That's it. It's just, it's just people. We are people. And I like people. And all this other, like, even, like, again, you know, the conversation I've just had, and he said, you know, one of his mates went, you know what, we shouldn't even have to have these conversations, you know? Everybody should just be accepted for whoever they are, you know? It's one of them, you know, but everybody's shouting about it and...
If it's a reload, if it's like The Sims and we start again, sure, because we now know, but because we have the history, it's like, you know, it's not the same thing, but people obviously like to use the race and gender sort of spheres and treat them like analogously, like, say, you know, slavery and reparations, and that happened. So to now say, yeah, but we should all be equal, yeah, from now, that'd be great. But those things did happen, and they deserve to be, like, respected that as a part of someone's culture. Gender, what's it called, like whitewashing history, or saying, well, I don't see gender, like, I paid for some really expensive boobs. Like, tell me you don't see gender now. That's bloody hard.
When did you realise? Did you always sort of know when you were growing up? Did you always have a feeling? This is the thing. I was talking to someone about this before, and they said, I was like, but how would you? What does it mean to feel like you feel like a woman?
that's such an interesting thing. Like, I've not got, I don't put a lot of stock in what Caitlyn Jenner says. I'm not a big fan of obviously her politics or whatever, but I just watched her an episode of something. It's a great show. Oh, it's The Cabin with Bert Kreischer.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. And she says to, can't remember, some comedian, she says, and this comedian's female, and she said, can I ask you a question that you've never been asked before? When did you know you were a girl? And it's obviously she's asking a female comedian that, which is a great question, because obviously if you've never questioned it,
yeah,
you've never had to make an assessment about what you think that is. You just take for granted what that is. Mm. When you're transgender, you get to go through this amazing thing where you it's confusing at first, but then you retroactively start to build in your mind what a woman is, because you're like, well, I'm one. So that's the first example of what women is.
Yeah.
What's great when you see transgender people, especially early on, you're seeing an outward projection of what they believe a woman to be superficially. How interesting is that? So you get people that perhaps transition in their 50s and 60s, and they're wearing like little Hello Kitty T-shirts and skirts that are not of their age, in all the like respect in the world. Wear what you like, but there's a sort of an established thing in there, like what little girls wear. And you have to go through that really rocky patch of almost an internalized misogyny of like, that you think that women are just these little girls that are like all ditzy and silly and loads of lipstick and like big earrings or whatever. And then you have to like start churning that away. But that mental process happens in most of our minds. But in transgender people, it's happening on the outside. So we're seeing what one person is stuck, like is deconstructing what a woman is on, in what they wear and what they, you know, what they look like. I think that's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, I had Danny St. James on, and we were talking about
she's
that.
Great.
Yeah, she's brilliant, and we were talking about about the same sort of thing. Like she was talking about what it took for her to get where she is, like the version of a woman that she feels she is. And then someone put a message up online, or they put a message online just saying about a thing that Danny had said. And she was, and it was a woman, and she was going, well, that's not what we all got fake boobs and this and that, and that's a woman, is it? That's a woman. You're like, well, that's Danny's version. That's how she feels.
She openly says, didn't she? Yeah. Pamela Anderson in her mind is like this thing to aspire to, and Pam Anderson's great, and that is a version of a woman. But like, when you are Pam Anderson as well, to be fair, like you are held up as a beacon of femininity, all that fame and like the superficial aspect of it. When you're transgender, you're in the media, you're like, you have to represent all transgender people and all of the gender you decided to become. That responsibility, you're like, well, go on then, what do you think we look like? Whatever outfit you decide to put on now, that's what you think all of us are. It's a minefield.
Yeah. And like you said, there's that. Some people, I mean, Danny said this as well, there are some people, and I've seen it as well, some trans women, that they go full on, like, it's like almost like, I don't know, like sex worker-esque. It's
hyper-feminine.
Really extreme. And you're like, women I know don't dress like that.
You know, no, it's unachievable. I think it's really sexy. I like, but that's where it divides. If I feel in a sexy mood, but that's not who I am day to day, as any other woman has the privilege of doing if she wants to. It's like, what picture comes out on your Instagram doesn't define who you are. It's just how you felt at that moment. I mean, that F's everything up. Social media F's everything up. Danny's really, really nice. And like, I think my life might have ended up turning out more like her, like if I didn't have, say, music or comedy or something, because I love her so much. She's an amazing advocate, and she's like, but she has achieved this hyper femininity that I've just internalized in my mind that I will never achieve. So I haven't bothered. Cause she's so gorgeous and has such an amazing brain, and like, I don't know, I've sort of resigned to myself to being a bit of a clown, like a sort of genderless clown. And if I didn't have music or comedy to focus on, I might have turned all that energy to trying to change my physicality. Do you know what I mean? This is starting to sound like an insult when it's the exact opposite. I'm trying to give a player a compliment.
No, of course. Yeah.
It sounds like I'm saying, you just look at yourself in the mirror all day long because that's all you've got to do with yourself. I fancy her a lot, but she's got a boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. You still fancy her.
That's true. Yeah. Why did I put a caveat there?
You can still find people attractive, even if they're with other people. You just don't act on it.
Yeah.
Don't do anything
about it.
That's all right. But this is the thing, because you've had breast implants, and
Yeah, they were but, white.
And you've got... Now, you joke about this on stage because you've still got your penis. And now...
Yeah, but it's where my boobs are. Yeah, I really effed up on the form. I ticked some wrong boxes.
I want these together.
Yeah, and I want those down there.
Yeah. And that's where a lot of men, or a lot, not men, a lot of people, that's penises. When people start get confused when you have these conversations to go, but they're a woman, they identify as a woman, but they've got a penis.
Yeah.
And that's where people start to stumble.
It's, yeah, falling back on the science, which is not a bad thing to fall back on, right? It's like science we've been taught is usually quite, what's the word when something's, yeah, consistent. Like science, mathematics, like formulas, they work. But we're quite happy for a mum who's adopted a kid to call herself the kid's mum, but it didn't come out of her vaginal cavity. That's pure biology right there. And yet the word mum is all right. We say, yeah, good on you. You are that kid's mum, because it's the actions that she's taken. She's earned it. She deserves it by performing like a mother,
yeah,
like doing the duties of a mother. And I've fallen into the feminine sphere. Well, I haven't fallen. I've clawed my way up a ladder to the feminine sphere. And I behave as such. You know, I think there are inherent traits in men and women. And of course there's outliers, but men are fantastic, like problem solvers. Not that women don't do that, but it's just genetic that men are problem solvers. They operate better as lone wolves a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And women are good at social connection. We have a very sophisticated way of keeping people together. And the old cliches about things like gossip and stuff, that's just a negative slant on something that's actually an amazing strength, being able to keep abreast of all the information, yeah, and the emotional nuance of friendship so that things don't fall apart, keeping the clan together. It's prehistoric. And I think that stuff is in there, even though there's, let's say, there's loads of outliers. But that's my job now. I feel like I'm good at keeping friendship groups together. I like to show up and, you know, keep everybody happy. And when I'm on my own, like a lone wolf, I don't know, I feel a bit more lonely than I used to. I don't know if that's just me.
Yeah, I understand that. I totally
Are you
get
a bit
that,
of a lone wolf? Would you describe yourself as such?
I think I like being on my own, but I think that's because I know I've got people to go back to.
Yeah.
I think if it was constant and I didn't have a choice, I think I'd struggle with it. And I think that's the difference, isn't it, between being alone and lonely.
That's, you know, so true.
I've always got someone, you know, I've got my boys, or I've got Jade or whoever, I've got mates, you know. Where there are some people that haven't got anybody for whatever reason, and that must be hard.
You have a support network, and you also have access to, at any given time, like relative to the COVID or whatever, a platform that you could go to get a great deal of adulation.
Yes.
Like siphon it off if you needed it, which is not the reason to do it, but it's certainly a lovely bonus. And that's, yeah, at any moment you've built that up, so you can have it, you can, siphon off a little.
Yeah.
Self. What's the word? Yeah, adulation. Self.
Yeah, a little bit of. Just a little bit of. It just buoys you up a little bit, doesn't it? A little bit of. Oh, that's nice.
Well, that's a very gender exclusive term.
I mean, B-O-U-Y-E-D.
There was is it about a specific person?
A Boyd. Like a boy, like a thing, right. Like a boy, like a ship's boy, like a out at sea.
Oh, like I didn't even realise.
Yeah, when you go, I feel buoyed by it. Yeah, that's it.
I feel buoyed up.
No. That I wasn't being I wasn't being gender specific. I was talking about a boy, yeah. B-O-U-Y, a boy.
I had a mate once that I was sleeping on her couch, and I'm really tall, so my feet was off the edge of the couch, and she says, oh, you look like a daddy long legs. And then she got all upset with herself, and she was like, I'm sorry, I meant mummy long legs. I was like, that's not a thing.
That's not even a thing.
Just made up. To change science for me.
Why is it a daddy long legs? I've never known. I'm sure there's a reason. I'm sure I could Google it. I probably should. And
I can explain the second half, but yeah, the right thing.
You know, the long legs bit, yeah, fine.
That's legit. That's self-evident.
Do you feel now you've transitioned? Do you feel you're in the right place? I mean, do you know what? That's bollocks, because no one really feels like they're
bollocks are anyway, a part really. Of it.
Yeah, bollocks are a part of it.
You know what it is? That's an interesting question, because I wouldn't presume to know it, that you're like the average listener, you're the listenership of your show, but I imagine there's a certain level of like elevated thinking for sure. Like, yeah. I imagine that is a big part of the appeal of your show. But there could be certain people listening thinking, well, has she? She hasn't transitioned if she's still got Willy. Because it's the physical completionism of it. I don't subscribe to that personally, but then penis is not a massive part of my everyday life. Like, I don't shake hands with it. Like, if you did, if it was like you had men and women's hands, then you would have to, because that's like you use them all the time and they're on show and you interact with them. But
yeah,
Willy's not a part of it. I've done all the important stuff. I don't know. When you're in the media as well, though, you are this floating sort of aspect, idea of a thing. You're like this embodiment of a political object and all sorts. I think of myself as a genderless clown a lot of the time, and that makes me feel a lot better, like giving power. And then in social situations, I'm well content.
Yeah. You know? Well, there is that need to, that's what humans do, don't we? We have to pigeonhole everybody.
Yeah.
You fit in that box. That's you, that's you, that's you. And that's how, you know, that, like I say, when I was growing up, it's like, that's a woman, that's a man. And then that was it. And then, you know, and then there are other people in between. But.
And then someone like Eddie Izzard would say that there's a great thing with Eddie Izzard, because you feel like he happily will say as he, like, will accept it because it's of a different time.
Yeah.
To people, but also a lot of people that would otherwise be maybe upset with my lifestyle would have a lot more respect for Eddie Izzard, because it's just so open and has provided so much joy for people about it, and has so openly talked about stuff, and it was such a gradual thing that Eddie Izzard's like let him get on with it, you know, just don't do it near me sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I like figures like that. I want to be one of them. I really like broaching the subject and bringing together maybe like the right and the left, as it were. I really like being in the middle there. I'm quite happy to be on the battlefield, like, what's the word, the front line.
Yeah,
that's my place. I'm really not a very good activist. I'm not good in like echo chambers or whatever.
No, I don't think it does you any good. Does it, if you're just in amongst everyone that agrees with you? I think I
want to be at the same place as you. I want to be I love playing gigs that you do well at, you know. I don't like go into places where it is all, everyone's already informed about every aspect of it, because then there's nothing to broach.
Yeah.
You know, I like being on the same bill as you.
Nah, we should gig more together. I think maybe we'll go on tour.
Let's seal that now online so that it is indisputable.
Let's do it. I reckon that we'd smash that. That'd be great.
We would do so well. Yeah, we would. Right, love.
Let's do it. All right, and after this, we'll arrange that.
Ding dong.
Oh, you're already here. Okay. How do you identify? Are you a she or a they?
No, I'm she.
You're just a she.
It's obviously a big movement, the non-binary people. I'm going to just say the most cliche thing, but I've got a lot of non-binary friends, right? so I know what I'm talking about. But like, that whole thing, the idea of gender being a spectrum, but all spectrums have a sort of a beginning and an end, not beginning and end, a far left and a far right, or whatever you want to call it. And I'm at one of those ends. So it's like, they are not mutually exclusive. It's not like non-binary people diminish the identities of men and women by saying, well, we're somewhere in the middle and everybody is. So no, that's just them. We can still be just a lady or just a man.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, maybe that, I think there's a lot of animosity comes out of people saying, well, like, say if you've been a feminist your whole life and you were a massive part of the feminist movement, you know, that's your main career. She gets annoyed when people say, just put on a dress and become a woman. And she's right in a way, because she thinks people are talking about sex. She thinks that, like, genetic sex is different from gender. So she's right. She sounds like a dickhead when she says it. So like, you can't put on a dress and be a woman. And those people who've made their whole life about being a woman, and then someone to come along and say, actually, there's no such thing. Like, it's very easy, very fluid and very simple. I imagine it is a bit of a thorn in their side, but it's not coming from that place. It's not an attempt to abolish it. It's just acknowledging there's something in between. As a very, very long answer to your very simple question, that now I'm a woman.
Yeah.
sorry, I went up.
No. This is what this is all about. And I say this all the time. The space is yours. And the reason I wanted to talk to you is because, and I said this to Danny as well, you're not able to have these conversations anywhere else. You know, you have to come at it fully formed. You have to know exactly what you're talking about. There's no room for error. And
long form podcasting is going to save the world.
I think so. I think this is it. This is exactly why we have these conversations. This is why I'm talking. Because when I first saw you, when I first met you, and I'm like, oh, Jordan, you're trans. She's a trans woman. And then you were on stage to make your penis. And then I stood there and I could feel my brain going, I don't know. I got questions. Because of all the old shit that's been pumped into me.
Yeah.
You know, and loads of other people will be in that position as well.
I
This is all new to us.
Yeah. It wasn't the first time I met you, but maybe the second time. It was at Late and Live in Edinburgh. And it was my plan was that I was going to get nude for the first time ever on stage. I do it all the time now because I love how the whole audience has to flip into I agree or I don't agree.
Yeah.
And so far it's 100% I agree, this is fine.
As I say, I wouldn't imagine many people disagree.
Yeah, disagree with what's going on. Yeah, no, that's definitely a penis. No, like, it always goes well because it's a hive mentality of, well, I can't be the one person that stands up and says, I'm leaving, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it's always good. But my point is, you came out and did it before me. And I was like, I was so nervous. And then you did it. And I was like, I'm going to do it as well. He's going to be really proud of me. And then I couldn't find you at the end of the night. So I was just, I was sort of wandering around the place trying to find you to be like, mate, did you see my knob?
I would have loved to have seen your knob. I got blood. Yeah. I was hammered that night.
You were. It was great. You did a great job.
Oh, mate. Yeah. Thank you. I was so fucking pissed before I got there. And I'm trying to do the bit. I've got this bit about what I look like naked. And the whole place went mental. And I'm like, I'm not getting naked now. I'm 5 minutes in. But then you couldn't get past it, which is why I ended up naked. And then I think part of me was just like, get the fuck out, you fucking idiot. I would have loved to have seen your penis.
I learned a lot from you about that because I love the joke of, I do it quite early on in a lot of sets. I'll do a song and then I get nude, maybe if it's like a 20 or half an hour, and then standing there like, oh, where'd you sort of go from here, really? And saying that out loud, and it normalises so fast. It becomes non-sexual within about 10 seconds, and then it becomes so normal.
Yeah.
And then you're just going into regular bits, and then you keep coming back, like, to see a joke about my granddad or whatever, and I'll be like, it's weird that I'm standing here doing a joke about my granddad with my knob out. It's odd.
I did it at Spank as well. Same joke, same thing happened, and I had to get all my stuff out. And then, I pulled my trousers back up, but I carried on doing the set with no top on.
But then, Crusher.
Yeah. But then you're like, well, I can't go anywhere after. I could just see everyone's faces going, we just seen his knob, and now he's talking about his kids. It's just like,
But that's sweet that you did think to compartmentalise by putting your trousers up for that bit, though. That's nice that you separate those two things.
Goes to show what kind of a person I am. I pulled my trousers up before I start talking about my kids. Knob out.
The opposite of that is very bad.
Very bad indeed.
Unpromptedly pull their trousers down and talk about their children. It's not ideal.
But all of this, this is such new territory for lots of people. Me, and me as well. I'm, you know.
And me though.
It's of course.
Yeah,
and
that's the odd thing.
Yeah, I'm now, you're a beautiful woman. You're very attractive. I'm now. I experience feelings, and my brain is trying to work stuff out. Do you know what I mean? I enjoy your company, and you're a beautiful woman. And you have a penis, I'm trying to explain it. And my brain's going, what are we doing? And I know that a lot of people will be in that same position.
It's nice to talk to you about it specifically when it's after having got to know you. Because I had people in the past when I first transitioned, a mate of mine, it's really disappointing. But it just happens, like the way people's brains think. He said to me in a post, after I'd spent ages getting ready or whatever, and he said to me in his post on Facebook, he's like, if you get any more attractive, I'm going to start fancying you.
Oh.
I was like, sort of a horrible thing to say. Do you think that stuff? Of course think it, and talk about it if it's the platform, and intellectually speaking. But it's like, I've spent ages getting ready. What you've told me now is that I'm still not up to your standards.
Yeah.
Like, because of very obvious aspects that are unchangeable as well, like the shape of my jaw or the fact that I've got a penis. I don't know, things that are traditionally, what a weird word for it. But yeah, just what a way.
Well, yeah, it's like what society tells you.
Yeah, if you got more attractive, I'd start fancying you. Imagine saying that to a cisgender woman or woman born a woman, still
You'd
a woman.
You get fucking
woman,
killed
in a bar. Hello, love. If you get more attractive.
I'll start fancying you.
Start fancying you. Imagine that. Oh, lucky you. Lucky you.
That really you play your cards right, babe.
Yeah. Just, I don't know what. And also, it not giving any advice. No specifics on how I would reach that point. What would I need to do?
All right, yeah. Well, really, I'll take a seat and fill me in. Tell me.
Yeah.
What do I need to do to achieve the dizzy heights of your affection?
I tie a little ribbon around my knob, just so it's a little bit more, affectionate, feminine.
A little bit. Make a knob feminine by putting a bow around it.
That's a really interesting chat, though. I've got to be honest. Like, and it's in a lot of people's minds. I know it sounds a bit Star Trek-y, but I've got a woman's penis. It's like, it's so adorable and so sleek and nice, right? And it's, and it's different. And if you put it up against a man's penis, and indeed I have sometimes, like if you do, but I mean, intellectually, they're different. They're different things, different species.
Yeah.
Like, they're two different species of oceanic slug.
I've never heard it called that before. I've got a very feminine penis.
It really is. There's a difference, and it's to do with like, what is it, elastin, the hormone in the skin,
right?
Or that, you know, that men and women have in different amounts because of estrogen and
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. So, like, you know, older men and older women are different, but then at a certain point they start to look the same as well.
Yeah,
that's funny how that works. But yeah, I just, I don't know, it's nice. And it's diminished in size by about 30% since you start taking estrogen.
Really?
Because the way hormones work, blood flow to the area, like basically it's like a use it or lose it situation, I think. Which is nice because it was, this is going to sound so stupid.
Here we go.
But it was too big before.
Fuck off.
I know, right. It sounds like I'm doing a bit. I'm like, I promise you, it was.
Knob was too big. It was a cumbersome thing I had to lug around with me.
It was inconvenience because of, I can't believe we're talking about this, but we are now. Like, there's a point where there's a law of diminishing returns on like penetrative sex,
yes,
where it becomes uncomfortable for people, and that I was receiving that criticism quite frequently, and now not as much. Like, so that's what a nice turn of events, you know. What a little bone.
I tell you what, I'm not. Well, you know what, we're talking about this now. Fuck it, right? I was in New Zealand, and I was doing.
Dirty bastard.
Yeah, Conkers Deep in New Zealand. we were doing a gig, and we got reviewed, and the opening thing is still up online. You better find it. It says Rich Wilson is packing in the jokes and the trouser department.
What a thing to say.
Yeah, that was the opening line. That was the opening line of this review.
And I've had it. That's the first thing they said.
Yeah, and I, because I had tight jeans on, and you could see it all. And then, I wore white jeans on stage. And
right.
I had to put an apron on to cover it up because everyone was just staring and talking about my dick. And it just.
That's great. I didn't kiss the cook apron.
Yeah, it was like that.
Can you really kiss the cock? We've done it. We've reached the apex.
We're being proper lads now. We're talking about.
We're being cock. Pure, aisle.
Yeah,
we are.
We're talking about knobs. But yeah, I get it. Sometimes.
You are blessed in that department. I think that's a really nice word for people to use. I do some gigs. Look, I've never seen like Eyes Wide Shut, but it feels a bit like that. Like, I do some gigs where there's like, it's very, have you heard of like Torture Garden and places like that?
Yeah.
I did some gigs there where it's a private thing, a big dinner party, and I'm sort of wheeled out as the bearded woman. It's like, I'm nude and I played the piano, and it's a novelty for them because they're so fabulously wealthy. And it's like, what can we possibly do? A white tiger descending from the ceiling. And I'm that novelty that comes out. And I like it because it's all very, it's not that it's in good fun. It's that it's all very out there in the open and obvious.
Yeah.
But I'll show up and I'll be nude and play the piano. And somebody said to me really sweetly once, she introduced me to one of the guests before I'd got nude, and was like, Jordan will be performing earlier. She's very blessed, if you know what I mean. And I was like, what a nice way of saying it. She just meant I've got a willy. Like, that's quite
sweet. Nice willy.
Yeah, a nice one. And maybe that's what she meant. I just took it as like she was saying that as a euphemism for owning a member.
Well, she might have been, because she was obviously pleased with it. If it was the other way around, she's going, fucking state of this. Anyway.
It's good money and all that sort of thing.
Well, I nearly went. Nearly went to Torch Garden.
It's great.
I won't say who. I don't know if she listens to this, but we talked about going and then we looked into it. And you can't just rock up.
No, that's the best thing.
You have to really put an effort into what you're going to wear. And you don't have to walk around like a gimp. You can wear... No. As long as it's spectacular and it's, you know, you've made an effort and you have to go there and get changed, don't you, before they allow you in. They have to see what you're wearing.
Sometimes I'll ask it to see your bag just for normal security reasons, but that can double up as, yes, I brought a costume.
Yeah.
Because you could have anyone walking in off the street. But also it's like discouraged stag do / hen party wear is not, that's not good enough.
No, no, no.
And I quite like that because that could ruin it.
Because some of it said you can wear, like the lads, if you're not sure, you can wear top hat and tails.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you can wear that sort of thing. I bought a brown leather kilt.
Oh, nice.
I was going to wear that. I had a brown leather kilt and big socks and boots and that, and then a top. And I was going to wear that, but then we didn't go.
Well, let's sort it out.
Let's go.
No, but that's another thing, is that the social aspect of it is a huge part of it. You can spend all night boogieing your little leather kilt off, and you don't have to partake in any activity, because it's not like it's out there. There's different areas. There's one room in one of them, Electro Works, I think, where there's like a 50s vibe room. No, like Blitz era room.
Yeah.
So everyone's in like latex, but of the wartime era and gas masks, and you're just listening to like this 50s trip hop music, and it's like another world. And there's the sexual aspect disappears.
Yeah.
You're just like, we're just living in this strange fairy tale. It's really fun.
I love about that. The word community comes up all the time.
Yeah.
And people that, you know, the people that are into all sorts, it's nice to find your tribe. It's like going back to what you said about that, about the thing that I put up about saying about the comedy community.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. We found our tribe. Someone else said that. Susan Murray said that. He said, we found our tribe where we felt we fitted in. And that's why places like Torture Garden and things like that, you know, because you feel like an outcast the rest of the time.
The Torture Garden, so it's stuff that's unspoken, because the implicit becomes explicit, and we never get to share that usually. So then you're there with a load of people that are, that's wonderful. And I think there's a corollary with comedy, because there's a lot of mental health crossover in comedy community, and it's stuff that is usually implicit and unspoken about. And suddenly you walk into a place and we're all just these wonderful little broken toys. And it's like, And it's explicit. It's been literally joked about on stage. So I reckon there's quite a lot of crossover with the comedy and kink communities. I reckon there is, because we're broad-minded people, aren't we?
Yes. And I know a few people, myself included. We've all got a thing. Everyone's got a thing. And I think we're more open-minded, I guess. I'm not, no disrespect to people that aren't in these industries. We're not saying we're better than everybody just because we do this thing.
That's not the thoughts of the show. That's just Rich saying that. I do think I'm head and tails above the rest.
Well, that's why you're going to be famous, mate.
Maybe. Yeah. When those.
And I'd just like to point out, I call everybody mate. If anyone messages me, you go, you were calling Jordan mate, and she said, I call everybody mate. And me saying mate is genderless.
It's a term of endearment that I've never understood why that had a gender to it anyway. And when people say dude and bro and stuff like that, there are two schools of thought. I fall on the one of it. There are terms of endearment that have fallen into like average use. Yeah, like lads as well. There's a comedy night, amazing comedy burlesque night called Lads, and it's women run and mostly female performers because it's a tribal thing. It's like, lads, but it's been reappropriated, which I love. I never get offended if people say mate, dude. My brother literally calls me bro, but he fully acknowledges and uses all my pronouns and stuff. But he's like, hey, bro. And it's like, and he's my brother, so he's earned it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I say man. I go, oh, man, quite
hey,
a
man.
Lot.
Yeah, and exactly.
And I was aware of that talking to Danny. I'd said it. I remember saying it. And I'm like, in my head, I went, oh, shit. Because I don't mean it. I'm not, again, me saying man isn't, it's more an exclamation. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah.
There's no gender, even though I've said the word man.
If you, if you've spent the time deconstructing it and you've still come to that same conclusion, then I feel like you've earned it as well. If you're like, actually, what do I mean by that? No, it's an exclamation.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's different if you were to like be like throwing out the word geezer or something that's like really obvious, or like, chief, things that used to be just male terms. All right, admiral. No, you can be a lady admiral, can't you? I don't know. If it was like specifics.
Yeah, if something that's like male specific. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But that's, so, I was aware. I always get, I always, because with these conversations, I just flow and go off.
I love it.
But I think that, and I always worry, I'm like, oh, have I said something? But then I know I haven't, because I'm not that person. I'm not out to offend. So
I think I've learned over time, I like to check in emotionally during long chats for that reason, because I worry people are thinking something. I did have a little chat with Stu Goldsmith recently.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like I was aware in advance of him not trying to mention any pronouns and things.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Like different ways of doing it, because it's, you know, different conversations about different things. But yeah, I just wanted to check in, and I'll bring it up.
Yeah.
To like level the playing field, just so it's out there. Yeah, but it's different when we're mates and this is a platform. There's nothing here now that you're so in safe hands now, because it's happening in real time, which means people can hear the sincerity in your voice. They know there's nothing untoward, and I know that we're mates.
Yeah.
So this is the safest you could be, oddly, even though we're not looking at each other's faces. I'm looking at a picture of you right now. I cut the little eye holes out.
Like Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah, I like to look through it and pretend I'm you.
Oh, why do you look like me? You're a very, very beautiful woman. Fuck that.
It's
you look like this fucking spud.
It's like what we were saying, though. Like, we're all different people, but like Bros get to be, you know, the same two people being the same person. I think me and you going out, but just both as you, would be quite a novel tour.
We couldn't go out as you. You're taller than me.
That's true. And I've got quite a barmy barnet as well.
Can I go? Yeah, it's huge, isn't it?
Yeah. Russell Brand beehive.
But you've, like I was saying before, you've got to a point where you're more the person that you felt you were.
I can't lie and say it was like a perfect trajectory. Yeah, I got lost along the way, but I'm definitely, you know, I'm the most pragmatic, but pragmatism is like at the core of my being. And yeah. I serve myself and my community better as a woman. So I'm able to, my output from this mechanism that I am is able to operate better if the input into it is, hello, missus. I've been filed in the right thing. I was sent to the wrong department, and I've just been reassigned. So I can do my job better. And my job is to keep people together, you know, to, you know, be the best me that I can be. And I can do that.
That's with a really nice
pair of silicone titties.
That's a really nice way of putting it. And what, and like you said before about, or what, like we talked about, is that there are like women, cisgender women that are up in arms going, no, that's not a woman. Like, yeah, but you're the version of a woman you want to be, so why can't that be the same for everybody else?
Yeah, you know? Earn it as well. Earn being a woman, earn being a man. Like, you never had to, like, you're a nice person, so you've earned it, it's fine. You've done, but in your life, can you say a point where you're like, oh, I've earned the title of being a man. I've done a man thing. Not a masculine thing, a man thing.
Yeah. It's
like, what do you even think of that as? Like,
yeah, what even is that?
If you went out and hunted a deer and brought it home and fed a village, it's, I mean, a woman could do that, but it's a very prehistoric
man thing.
I don't know. Like, this is me in real time trying to think of an example.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
difficult, of course.
I get it. It's like, yeah, it's not the same as me coming back from co-op. I've provided for the family. I'm now a man. Yeah, well, no, this is all stuff. One, this is all stuff from the reduced aisle, you tight prick. Yeah. And you didn't run around in the fields for days on end hunting your prey.
Maybe fighting a rival tribe's, like, you know, like in Spartacus, or not Spartacus, what's the one with Brad Pitt where he plays Apollo? Apollo, what's that one called?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like Gladiator. Like, if you were thrust out, if you were volunteered for your town to fight somebody from Basildon, and there was like the one Basildon man, and you'd done it for the honour of your town, that's about as man as I can think.
That would be, the classic example of what a man is.
Yeah, and we're not endorsing or saying that that's what a man should be, but that is... that is the distilled version of what the media.
This is just us. This is just us trying to work it out in, like you say, in real time.
Mythology. I'm going back to old mythology for this. You're digging right into the old stuff, and that's what they thought a man was.
I tell you, it's interesting as well, like what you say about the way you dress, because it's like Jade and I. There was someone was saying, "Oh, I'm a trans man. I'm a trans man," and they were just wearing jeans and a top.
Yeah.
And then I looked at Jay. Jay was like, well, that's what I wear.
Yeah, that's so what, that jeans means... are the game changer.
And you go, what? Does that mean I'm a trans man now? You know, like, that clothes don't make you don't make you the thing, do they? I mean, yeah, there are societal signs, you know, things that go, right, that's what a woman would wear. But I've said this before. If you got a pair, if you got a bit of material and you made a blouse and a shirt from it, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's still the
and
same
for
clothing.
A very long time, it was literally men and women wearing the same outfits, weren't they? In the 80s, it was a very blousy time.
Very blousy
without repercussion.
Time.
But if you were a baker, you could go to work in a pair of jeans and a top and still bake bread. I'm not a baker, but I can stick on one of those funny little hats, like little Pillsbury Doughboy hats. That don't make me a baker. It's coming from the inside out, and we're all looking at the outside in. And why wouldn't we? Because light travels faster than, like, it's like we see before anything else. So, of course, our first impression of someone is literally the outer layer. There is no other way of doing that. Even us talking now, if this was the first time we met, the first thing that comes out of my mouth isn't going to sum up who I am as a person. It's just, our first impression of somebody is their outfit.
That's true. This is the other thing as well. So a lot of people, they just assume that all trans people are gay are you gay? Is it more fluid than that? Or are you bisexual?
It's really interesting because the term changes. Like I've fancied women my whole life and I'm now indeed married to one.
Yeah.
But like I didn't change in the slightest. I've literally never had to question my sexuality, but the box you tick on like the gum clinic form changes because now I'm in a lesbian relationship because I'm a woman with a woman. So yeah, but nothing else changed. But then I realised in time that once you open your mind a bit to the idea that you might be a woman, everything else is inconsequential. So I'm definitely like a bisexual person now.
Yeah.
But it wasn't for like a really difficult transitional having to figure it out. I was like, oh no, everyone's a bit tasty. I quite like it. But I like, you know what I do like? And this is a taste thing, is I like feminine women and masculine men. And I tend to be friends more with masculine women and feminine men. And a lot of my friendship group, maybe it's because of my job as well in the LGBT community, those people I don't have a sexual attraction to as much, like sort of more feminine guys and butcher women. Butcher an old-fashioned word? I don't want to use the wrong word, but more masculine women. I just treat them as more that more of a colleague relationship.
Right. Yeah.
And you don't jump your colleagues, do you?
No. Well, you're not supposed to, but some people fucking do.
Yeah.
Animals. This is the thing. People are, I've said this before as an example. When I was growing up, went to see Take That.
Tell everybody that.
That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
Rag.
Just I went to see Take That. Moving on. Just going to get it off my chest. It was when Robbie was in them as well.
I'm glad you told me.
I feel better now. Now I've told you.
That's what you were worried about at the beginning of this chat. You thought you were going to put your
Never mind anything else. I'm like, I've really got to tell Jordan I've been to see Take That.
When Robbie was with them as well.
And that's it, when it was proper Take That.
It was.
And when Howard and Jason came out halfway through and they were dressed in like devil's outfits and they were dancing around with no shirts on, I had a weird feeling. But not weird, do you know what? No, weird is the wrong word. I had a weird feeling for me.
It's an atypical feeling for your.
It's an
your
atypical.
Usual
it's
data set.
Well, people, you know, obviously people find Howard and Jason very attractive. And I was like, oh, I'm a straight man. I find women attractive. And then I saw those two running out, and I'm like, oh my God, I feel different. I felt like I was fighting. I'm like, oh my God. But then, like, as I got older, I'm like, well, yeah, you can still find men attractive.
The thing is, when it's a physiological reaction, then there's something else in there, because you're like, I didn't give orders for this to happen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when it's a funny feeling in your tummy or an influx of fluids to the various areas, but then that it's like laughter. It's not policeable. So you have to listen to it.
Yeah.
It's like laughter. If you intellectually disagree with something, but it makes you laugh, you know, I shouldn't have laughed at that. You did though, didn't you? So that's
exactly,
either,
yeah.
Think about it. And if you feel attracted, that's nice. Us suppressing that is going to destroy the universe if we just keep suppressing actual feelings.
Oh, absolutely. But at the time, because I was only early 20s, I'd never really explored my sexuality up until that point. I just thought...
Yeah, because why would you?
No, it didn't even cross my mind. But so at that point, I'm like... And then I'm like, oh, shit, am I... Oh, what's going on?
Were you brought up with any religious affiliation?
No, none at all. None at all.
They weren't the devil thing that sort of triggered a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not supposed to. Really, that imagery can be very traumatic for some people, or can, like,
it can be
like,
very
repressed guilt or whatever.
Yeah, like, that's true. But there was none of that. No, I think I quite like what would be seen as wrong and dirty. Like, the devil's always dirty, isn't he?
He is.
And I think that I've always been attracted to that. We're just like, you know, that's why you want to go to places like Torture Garden. It's a bit more, erotic and
I'll tell you what it is.
Evocative.
It's what every 80s movie thought the future was going to look like. It literally looks like that. It is Running Man. It is everything. that is what it looks like.
Yeah, you're right. It is that. And it was all, that was always seen as, that was what was portrayed, when they were portraying something that was a little bit sleazy.
Gritty.
Yeah. It was always people in really shitty leather gear.
With a little flick knife.
Yeah. Well, look at that. I mean, look at the in the Police Academy movies. When they end up in the Blue Orchid, and it was like really stereo. It was like the stereotypes were ramped up.
Damn! The electro music is always playing.
Like, yeah, and they were all dressed in like the biker guy from Village People.
Yeah, BDSM gear and Mad Max and all that all got. That it's such a trope now in comedy. There's an episode of Rick and Morty where they all go to the future and they're just wearing explicitly just like bondage gear because that's what was available when they were making these films. Just the idea that we would become so desensitized that would be normal clothing for everyone is quite a funny trope, isn't it? That they didn't see that in the 80s. They thought they were being really, really out there.
Really, really out there. Yeah.
Now it seems a bit silly.
But these are the conversations we should be having, like this, and the fact that on both sides, I should be able to say to you, look, I don't know. I don't really know what to say or do. Well, you know, I mean, like we said before, these conversations really, we shouldn't even need to be having them, but we do.
People not feeling comfortable saying I don't know is something that needs to change. It's a superpower to be able to say. It infuriates people when there's a political argument or something going on. You're like, what do you think about him? Like, I don't know him. I don't know what happened. And they're like, what do you mean? I don't know yet.
Yeah,
I don't know. And they're like, well, how am I supposed to file you in my brain then? On what side? I don't know. And it's like, someone asks you what you feel. Like, oh, what do you think of Stuart Lee? I don't know him.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll let you know if I know.
If I know.
Yeah. If I know, I'll let you know. But until then, I don't know.
I just want to clarify, that sounded like something's going on with Stuart Lee. He ain't done nothing. That's just popped into my brain. You might think that's not like a current news story. It's just a person.
Just to say, Stuart Lee, nothing. There's nothing to report.
Unless he has.
Oh, God.
I'll go. Oh, no.
Jordan, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on.
You're such a sweetheart.
And so are you. And I mean it. Let's go and do some gigs together.
Let's do that and let's go to Torture Garden. Also, I didn't even ask. Are we on membrane or fembrane right now?
Well, I was going to say to you, like, this sounds shit. Because we talked about this the other day. We've already talked about this before anyone fucking messages me. What should we put out on? What do we... Fembrane. Be fembrane.
That's very sweet that you would go to that instinctively. And, yeah, that makes sense. But I'm leaving the option open because I did have a man brain for a long time, and now I flood it with estrogen. It operates as a female brain, so it depends on how you feel the chat went, really.
There's a lot of talk about penises halfway through.
There is, isn't there? Which might be a nice little novelty in the fembrane section.
Do you know what? I think we'll put this out on fembrane.
You're cool. Look,
like you said, you've worked really hard to get to where you are.
Expensive.
It's fucking expensive.
Yeah.
And not even that. It's just like, not even money-wise, but mentally, physically.
On the soul, yeah, definitely.
You know, that for want of a better word, journey. That journey you've been on to get to where you are now, to be the person that you always knew you were, for me to then go, yeah, well, we talked about cocks for 20 minutes, so this goes out on membrane, mate. That would be fucking bollocks. You're a woman. And that's what we're gonna. And that's the me. No, fucking. Me just saying that sound like a rubber.
You're doing great, though. This is nice, man. I like the way you're doing it. Like you're doing it in real time.
I am.
This is very. I feel validated.
There you go.
And I've had a good time.
Paul has already done the graphics. This is going out on Insane in the Fembrane.
Hey, well done.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a screen in front of me in the booth, and he's just put, there's a photo of you, the one with your hair being a moustache.
Oh, right. Oh, that's confusing for you, isn't it?
You put that across there, and then we've got Insane in the Fem Brain. Yes.
Hey. Oh, well done, lads.
And thank you, Jordan. This has been fantastic. Where can we find you?
I'm here.
Fucking knew it. See, that's the membranes that come
I would have gotten away with it too with a few meddling podcasters. I can be found across social media at Tall Dark Friend. I know it sounds incredibly pretentious, but I was young when I thought of that.
No, I love it.
So, Tall Dark Friend, and of course you can always check out my new show Transaction across Comedy Central UK's social media. It's all right, I'm in it, and I've got to play myself with a different name.
That's brilliant. That's fucking great that's got picked up.
Very, very chuffed. We'll see what the future holds, but yeah,
it's gonna be brilliant. You're amazing, Jordan. Thank you so much.
I feel reciprocally about you. Lovely. In the same way. And lovely. I'll speak to you very soon. Let's tour and let's torture garden and let's have a good time.
Fucking right. I'm going to have that bath with Jade.
Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.